If you want a house, you're going to get a break. And if you're looking to buy one, you're going to get another break as well. I don't know if this spells that the housing market is still in severe trouble or not, but this is what's going to happen. If you have owned your home for at least 5 years, okay, you will be eligible for a tax credit up to $6,500 when you file your taxes. That's a check in your hand. And first-time buyers, those who haven't owned a home in the past 3 years, will still get up to $8,000. Both set of buyers will have to have had a purchase contract by April 30th of 2010, closed by June 30th. So if you've owned a house, you know, for 4 or 5 years back, you're going to get that check for $6,500. Now, there's an income level rate there. The credit is available for the purchase of principal houses costing $800,000 or less, okay? And the credit would be phased out for individuals who have annual incomes above $125,000 or for joint filers with incomes over $225,000. So that's a lot of cash to you when you file your income taxes when you own a house. So good luck with that. And just remember it. It's a nice little perk. Now let's go to Dan again, San Jose. Dan, I want to get to the bottom of your story, and I didn't want you to hold so long. So something goes over the wall there, and this guy comes walking out. I'll let you pick it back up from there.
He comes walking out. He's 50 yards away from me on my right, and I'm looking out over the valley, and I'm watching the ranger go down into the woods. So he comes walking to me, and I'm just beside myself. The spirit within me is telling me this guy was in the car. And the sheriff had just pulled up at that time. And I'm explaining to the sheriff where the park employee is and where we think the car must have been, a car that went over. And the sheriff went over the wall, right, probably the most dangerous place you could go, which was kind of bizarre to me. But so I'm worried about the sheriff, just one wrong move and he's falling down a 300-foot face. And as this person passes me and passes back, he walks all the way back down, and I'm watching, and I hear the park employee say, "I found it," and what he found was the car. And I looked back at this person that I'd seen, and it disappears.
Disappeared?
Disappears, and I think to myself, oh, my God, wait a second. You just can't walk up here. This is 2 miles from the valley floor. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. And then it dawned on me that this has to be a crossover, some experience, which I'd never experienced before. But for me, it was plain as day that I had just seen an entity that couldn't explain itself. So I took pictures. Unfortunately, I didn't take pictures of this person, which I just didn't dawn on me.
I wonder if it even would have shown up.
That's what I wondered also. But what it turned out was it was a rabbi from Northridge, California, who had left a suicide note. This is October of 2005. Anybody can verify it. He drove up to Yosemite, went down through the tunnel, and went right off, right where a lot of photographers set up their cameras to take photos of the whole valley.
Jeez.
And I was left shaking that whole day because it was just unbelievable to me that I had kind of witnessed and experienced that whole thing. So
something you'll never forget.
My first of two suicides that I was either had witnessed within 10 minutes that year.
That's a great story, and thanks for holding on. We'll be back with the rest of the open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. And hey, by the way, again, there's this internet story going on where several thousand people have had a dream of this weird-looking guy, and they're all having the same dream. And producers are working on a story on that, and then we'll put a picture of this weird guy up on the coasttocoastam.com website. Who is he? Nobody knows. And why are so many people dreaming of who this person is? Truly incredible. Incredible. As we go to the calls, if you know who played this person in a movie, we're going to put you on hold if you're correct, and I'm going to send you 5 books when I get back to Los Angeles. Kaiser Soze was the character in the movie. I don't even remember the name of the movie, But who played the part? That I know. And if you know it, when you when I go to you, just yell it out. And if you're right, you'll get the books. To the phones we go. Let's go to West of the Rockies. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Are you there? Yes, go ahead, sir.
Okay. Hey, it's John Travolta.
No, good try.
I thought I would try something. Hey, I was. This is my second time I was on hold. I was laughing so damn hard when the guy flushed the toilet.
That's a radio first, I got to tell you.
Anyhow, you had spoke once before about seeing like some alien spacecraft, like some intergalactic wars happening up in outer space. You were on top of a building.
Yes.
I think yes. I know what may have been the cause of it, but I have not. I was not there where you were, so I didn't see exactly what you had saw.
Right.
I was returning home from hunting, and on the skyline, it was really dark out, no moonlight, but you could still see the skyline from the ground. And I happen to throw up my night vision. Every time I throw it on, I always think of you, and I always look up in the sky. Well, I happen to see something. Well, I've seen some animal eyes, and then looking over, it was above the horizon. I saw something start flashing, and it was like a twitching. I thought at first that it was an animal's eye twitching for some dang reason. And the more I got looking at it, and then it started zinging back and forth in 45-degree, 90-degree angles. And I thought of you, and I said, well, it must be a UFO, I call it, because I haven't identified it yet. And the more I got looking at it, all of a sudden it breaks the plane of the ground. So it dipped below the ground and then back up towards the sky. And I think what I was seeing was a bat, the way it was moving. And if you were up on top of a hotel or something like that,
yeah,
you would not be able to see that plane.
Now, I'll see what was happening here, though, was 90-degree angle turns. I'm not sure a bat would do that.
No,
and in
this,
some
this
cases...
Was doing it too. That's what made me think of it.
Did it also stop?
Yes, it would dart, stop, back and forth.
I mean, but this stopped in midair. I mean, it didn't move for, like, minutes.
Yeah, that's exactly what this did. And that's what made me think of it. And then all of a sudden, it dipped below the horse or the... It dipped below the skyline. Where the ground was, so it dipped into the ravine and sat there and went back and forth and then shot back up in towards the sky.
God, I just can't believe what I was looking at were bats.
That's the only possible.
I know they weren't insects, and I know they weren't satellites, but bats. I'll ask Grimsley. He's going to be on the show pretty soon.
Okay.
And well, that's his name, Ed Grimsley, by the way.
When I saw it, it looked like it was quite a ways out there, but I thought I would share that with you, just give you another thought on it.
Okay, thanks.
All right, have a good evening.
Okay, bye. Let's go to Nicole, Scranton, Pennsylvania, on Coast to Coast. Hey, Nicole.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm okay. What's up?
I just wanted to call and talk about some things. I heard the caller talk about Slender Man.
The Slender Man. Do you know anything about this thing?
He's kind of been a big buzz on the internet lately.
Okay.
And there's these videos on YouTube about these group of people who made videos, and they appear to be seeing the Slender Man, and apparently he's stalking the director of the videos. And the Slender Man myth is that children, he appears to children, and he kind of kidnaps children, and children see them in their dreams. And he's very, very tall, almost like what the last caller said, like a Jack Skellington, like tree-like tall.
Is this like some kind of promotion, you think, for a movie or something?
I don't think so. It's kind of daily. Sometimes they'll add videos and, you know, they'll show, you know, clips of these things, weird things that happen with a camera or sound bites. He seems to have some sort of effect on the sound, and the sound will distort whenever he's around.
Okay.
And there's been photos that have surfaced on the internet from this library that burned in California.
Yes.
And in the pictures, there's like a bunch of children, and in the background, you can see like almost a tall like figure. He's almost like a man in black, and he wears a tall suit, but he's faceless. And people are thinking that he's kind of like a shapeshifter because he can extend his arms to great lengths, and they can also become like kind of like octopi tentacles.
Is he hurting people?
They say sometimes after he appears, children go missing. And sometimes they reappear and they have, you know, a lot of trauma done to them, but they can't recall.
But this is growing on the internet, so it should be easy to find, huh?
Yeah. It should. It'll be really easy to find. Just type in Slender Man.
Okay, we'll check that out. That could be a good story.
Yeah. Okay. Pretty interesting.
Slender Man.
Pretty creepy.
That is weird. Slender Man. Okay, next up we go to Bill, Philadelphia, on Coast to Coast. Hey, Bill, welcome to the show.
Sir, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
30 years ago, when I was in seminary, I participated in an exorcism.
Ah, okay.
And I'll tell you, the exorcism itself was scary enough, but the young lady got well. But what happened to the rest of us was awful. The seminarian who was there with me committed suicide within a couple months.
Oh, my.
The doctor had a heart attack and died. Father Mike had a stroke within the year, and he passed away. And within a couple years, her two brothers who were there died in car accidents.
How about you, Bill?
Well, I've lived these 30 years, and I don't think I've had a sober day in 30 years because whatever was in her has chased after all of us. And for some reason, he left me alive. But particularly in the nighttime between 3 and 4 in the morning, which I think is the true witching hour, this force, whatever it is the strongest I've ever felt.
That's weird. Now, tell me a little bit about this woman and the exorcism. What was wrong with her? How was she possessed?
She had tremendous physical strength. She tried to continually hurt herself. There was no levitation involved, but it was just strange voices, no language. And she just was completely out of control. She went from being someone very normal to someone who was unrecognizable.
And well, so far, so good for you. She did get well, and she's, I assume, still okay, huh?
No, she passed away last year.
Oh, she was one of them.
So, as I said, when you mess with this stuff, no matter how godly you might be, the forces never let you alone. They always come for you.
But why you? Why are you still okay?
Well, I assume he's just, whatever it is just playing with me.
He's not ready for you.
Well, enjoying my suffering. But I'll tell you, when I pass away, as I said, as a former failed seminarian, there's no light waiting for me. I can just imagine every demon in hell is waiting for me.
Well, you keep fighting the good fight. I mean, that exorcisms are tough things. Niles in Spokane, Washington, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Niles.
How are you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, sure thing.
I just had an answer for the question that you had asked.
Oh, on my Kaiser Soze? Yeah.
Sir, it's Usual Suspects, Kevin Spacey.
You got it. I didn't think anybody would get that.
No, I watched a lot of movies, I guess.
That was a pretty good movie, wasn't it?
It was a pretty good movie.
Do we have your address yet, or do I need to put you on hold?
No, need to go on hold.
Okay, on hold you go. Nikki, pick up his address and put it on Tom's desk, and we'll send him 5 books from Coast to Coast guests, and you'll love it. Next up, we go to Brady in Wyoming on the wild card line on Coast to Coast. Brady, go ahead.
Hey, George.
What's up, Brady?
Hey, guy. Must be a God thing. I got through your phone lines in less than 5 minutes. But anyway.
But I had you on hold for 6 hours.
No, it's only been about 10 minutes. But anyway,
that's not bad.
George, you and your people are going to save millions of lives.
What are we going to do?
This is straight up. You got to get a hold of this Dr. Simoncini, Simoncini. He's all over the internet.
He's the bicarbonate guy, isn't he?
Yes, sir. He's healing people with cancer, every kind of cancer, right and left.
Simoncini.
He's healing breast cancer in 6 days. Colon cancer, lung cancer. He's got an interview on the internet. It shows the camera going in there, and it shows it before and after with baking soda.
I have not checked him out, Brady. You think he's real?
I've seen his video, and if that guy is lying, God, take my life right here, right now.
Well, not yours, but maybe his for doing what he's doing. But
it's straight up. My wife's taking care of an 81-year-old man that just found out he's got throat cancer, and he's got a pacemaker. He's living on 18% on one lung, and he ain't going to make it through radiation and chemo, and we're trying to get the doctor to sign the paperwork to cover his own butt and try this on him.
Does the doctor have to be the one to administer, or can you do this at home?
No, you gotta put it in. If it's on an organ, they got to go through the artery that feeds the organ with like 200 milligrams of the sodium bicarbonate.
Okay, so he's doing some real treatment. It's really so he claims that cancer is a fungus.
That's right.
And that sodium bicarbonate.
That's right.
Wipes it out. He says it is the most revolutionary therapy ever. But you know what? You know what would not surprise me, Brady, that a cure for cancer could be that simple if that's the case.
Yeah. Watch his video. This guy can't be lying.
And he's in Rome, isn't he?
It's Rome or Italy. I can't remember which.
Yep. That's one of the same. So he's out there. Thanks. We'll follow up on that. Let's go next to Derek in Boston, Mass. You're on the wild card line. Derek, what's going on out there?
How's it going, George?
Good.
Listen, I just, first off, recently found your Coast to Coast show here about a month ago. I've been listening. Absolutely fascinating. I appreciate it. Love the show.
On our great affiliate up there, WRKO.
Yeah, excellent. My question is, probably about a couple weeks ago, I've always been kind of like this skeptical type person, didn't really believe
good.
In ghosts.
That's healthy. That's healthy.
And stuff like that. Until a buddy of mine told me this theory about UFOs that I'd never heard before, and I guess my question is, if you ever heard of it, is that UFOs weren't necessarily aliens from other planets, but actually our own civilization in the future.
Absolutely. I've heard that as a possible theory, and that they come back and monitor us. Maybe they want to help us, but that has been a great theory. There's also theories that they've always been on this planet as long as we have, maybe longer, live within the hollow earth, other dimensions. They're demons. But, yes, I've heard that theory, too. I don't know. I still tend to believe we're being visited from a planetary system of ETs.
Yeah, but, well, the only thing that just fascinated about me is being a skeptical person. I mean, this was something I could actually, like, wow, that really could make some sense, you know, especially if in the future we have, you know, the technology that, you know, could advance to a level that we could actually do stuff like that. So,
and they have physically changed.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely evolved.
Yep. And that would happen too.
But that was my question. And thanks for the answer. I appreciate it. And again, love the show. Have a great night.
Okay. Absolutely. Hey, those of you listening in Vancouver, we're getting a brand new affiliate in a couple weeks. Those of you who might be listening to us streaming and things like that, in the meantime, if you want to consider Streamlink, go ahead. We're working on some more things for Streamlink, which includes opening up the archives even beyond 3 years. And you know about the iPhone app. And also we're working on digital After Dark magazine for you, too, to go with the publication. I'm George Norrie, back with more Open Lines in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, it's time for our shout-out. Thank you, those of you listening on your favorite radio stations across North America. Those of you listening on Streamlink, hello to you, and your iPhone apps, and then XM Satellite, Channel 165, and the various chat rooms all over the place, thenighthawkzone.com. Thank you for listening and everything you do to support Coast to Coast, including keeping Moondog at bay, flushing the toilet live on the radio. Imaginative Worlds, Into Infinity, the Sorcery IRC group, the MySpace groups, the AboveTopSecret.com folks, Northern Kentucky Paranormal groups, Yahoo chat rooms, and our Twitter group. Thanks for keeping Coast to Coast the number one rated program at night in the world. And here we go. Welcome back to Coast to Coast AM. I'm definitely going to try to get a hold of this Dr. Simonici. He's in Rome. Tommy's on it, and we'll get Lisa on it and see if he can speak English. Let's hope he can, and find out a little bit more about his apparent cancer cure where he uses sodium bicarbonate. I want to check into this. If it's alternative medicine, it's worth checking into, and if it's real, great. If it's not, it's worth reporting on as well. To the phones we go again. Let us go to Tony in Green Valley, Arizona. Hey, Tony, welcome to the show.
When are you going to get JC on to debate Casey?
Gosh, you know what? Good question. We'll have to wait for him.
We can see who the best howler is.
You never know.
Yeah, so I was sitting around the other week trying to decide whether to go trick-or-treating as you or this man, and I came across this note that I made ages ago. It's an anagram of your name.
And Okay.
I thought I got to call in and tell him this. I took your full name, George Ralph Norrie.
Okay.
And rearranged the letters, and it makes a question. Helper or Gray Goon?
I would think helper. What do you think?
I can't see why it can't be both. But that's what I got. It, you know, they say you rearrange the letters in your name, it'll tell you things about yourself.
Anagram. Do you do this a lot?
Not a lot. It, you know, it's just something to pass the time, and I found this note.
We should send names your way, Tony, and have you do them for us. All right. Well, that's interesting. Interesting. I'd rather be more of a helper. Let's go next to where? Joe in Pittsburgh, because I haven't been to Pittsburgh in a while. Hey, go ahead, Joe.
Hey, how are you, George?
Okay, Joe.
I just wanted to share with you and the listeners my theory on time. More specifically how it applies to instances such as precognitive dreams, intuition, and deja vu.
All right. I'm looking forward to your theory.
I thought you were going to say something. Well, I'm a huge believer in string theory, the multiverse, and I believe there's multiple dimensions. And I believe dimension one and two are like the lower dimensions, you know, what Christians would call hell. And I believe, you know, Earth is the third dimension. And the fourth dimension is the astral realm. A lot of times that's where most people go when they leave their physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And if they go to the white light, you know, they go to the fifth dimension or higher, you know, call it the afterlife, Summerland, heaven, why not? It's all the same. Now, I believe, you know, you got your conscious and your subconscious, okay? And sometimes I refer to the subconscious as your superconscious. But I think they're always connected all the time, okay? And, you know, Albert Einstein said that, you know, there's no such, the only reason why we have time is so that everything doesn't happen at once. Now, I think on Earth, on this third dimension we're living on, that's the only dimension that has linear time. We had a past, we're currently in the present, and there's, you know, we assume there's going to be a future. Whereas on these other dimensions, I think time's non-linear, you know, there's no concept of time. And being that I believe, you know, our subconscious and our conscious mind are connected, I think we don't understand it, but, you know, they communicate back and forth constantly all the time. And that's why, you know, you go to bed one night and you have a precognitive dream and something comes true. Well, I think that's simply your, you know, subconscious mind, which where there's no such, you know, concept of past, present, or future. You know, it communicates with your conscious mind saying, you know, and then dream comes true. And I'll give you an example. You know the story whenever you were at the traffic light, George.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, the light was green.
Decided not to go through it. That's right.
Yeah. And suddenly you said a car went flying through the red light. It would have hit you. You know, you could have gotten seriously hurt. Well, what if your subconscious mind, your superconscious mind, which exists on another dimension where there's no such thing as time, somehow communicate with your conscious mind and said, oh, this is it. This is where I get in that bad car accident. I need to somehow get through to myself to just stop for a moment. And perhaps, you know, it doesn't always necessarily get through. The connection isn't always made. But in some cases, such as that case when you're at the traffic light, that connection was made and you were able to stop and avoid the car accident.
No, that's an interesting theory. I mean, does the subconscious mind, you know, see the future and communicate back to you almost like a reporter, right? If there's a reporter on the scene of some story and they're on the air with me, I don't see it. But if they're there and they're reporting on what they're seeing, you know, it's almost like that without a time gap. But in this case, can the conscious mind see the future, relay it back to you? That's an interesting theory. Very interesting. Next up, we go to Christy, Long Beach, California, not far from the Queen Mary, I bet. Hi, Christy.
George, hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad.
I have a tiny little music request. Can I take that?
A music request, sure.
Subterranean Homesick Alien by Radiohead. I don't know if you've heard of it, but lovely song.
Yes, I'm not sure we've played it before, but I'll have our illustrious staff check into it for you.
Okay, thank you. My question actually is about the Anunnaki. I never pronounce it right.
Anunnaki. The Anunnaki.
Anunnaki. DNA seeding. I kind of am going down this path. I kind of tend to believe it. If they seeded us in the physical body, were they also responsible for what we would consider to be the etheric or spiritual realm, the non-local realm, as Dr. Goswami talks about? And when we die and we go back to that realm, did they create the spiritual realm as well? Are they in charge of it? And what's your take on that?
Well, I think we've been seeded, too. I think we were jump-started. I believe in God. I mean, I want everybody to know that. And I think that those who seeded us also believe in a supreme being and a higher power, for sure. I'm not sure about the soul part of it. I think for some reason that when species are born, the soul energy somehow finds its way into the body. I don't think they had the ability to do that.
So do you think we perhaps volunteered or gave permission for them to create the physical form of the human being, perhaps?
Did we volunteer for it?
Did we sign up? Did we say, yeah, sure, go ahead and create mankind? And
No, it probably was not anything we had any say-so about.
Okay.
Anunnaki, remember that word.
Anunnaki.
Go into a club one night and go up to a guy and call him an Anunnaki. And report back to us.
Okay.
All right, great. In the wee hours. It's getting late down here in Chicago, I think. Let's go to Columbus, Ohio. Chris, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning there. I've been a long-time listener of Coast to Coast, over 10 years.
Super. Thank you for supporting us.
And talked to Art many times. I was following this Virginia Tech killing the other day, and when I first heard about it, I thought, you know.
You mean the Fort Hood? Fort Hood.
Yeah, Fort Hood. And the first thing I thought of was the Virginia Tech killing.
Yes.
And what I listened on as the news reports come in about reports on this guy, this doctor, that he had also graduated from Virginia Tech.
That's right.
And I made the conclusion that, okay, and there was a long study on this, that there was MK Ultra, which was a building 3 miles away from Virginia Tech, which is the mind control center of the United States where they do all the studies.
That's true.
And here we have this doctor who came from there. So there might be a connection. I don't know. Other thing I want to ask was you have call screening. Art used to do it live. How come you use a screen instead of going live once in a great while just for fun?
Well, because sometimes it's not fun. You know, I pick the calls in whenever I want, but you have no idea on a national show. And by the way, Art had his calls also answered. He didn't get into the subject or the topic line, but many nights he had those calls answered and they put them on hold. Because let me tell you something. Do you know how many people call and they're drunk out of their mind?
I know, it's
and,
pretty wild.
And there could be some nights, 6 out of 10 calls were people who were inebriated.
Right.
Or sometimes Tommy tells me 9 out of 10. And that would be a waste of time for a talk show. I mean, you don't want to hear that all night. One might be funny, but 10.
I did have a question the screener wouldn't let me ask, but it's a very, very good question. And she said, well, you really should ask Art. And I thought, well, with your relationship with Art, maybe you might know. What I want to do is ask Art.
Next up, we go to, where'd you go? Sue in Prince George, Virginia. Hey, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi.
I've been hearing people call in tonight talking about, I guess they call him the Slender Man.
Yeah, what is this thing? Other than what people are telling me.
First, I want to say that I feel very fortunate that this is the first time I've really called your show, and I felt like if I got through that it was meant to be.
It is meant to be.
Well, in the 82, like 81, I gave birth to my son, and the following year, I started having a lot of dreams, and I saw this thing in my dream, this what I believe is a Slender Man, and it was a very vivid dream. That was in 82. I had the dream.
Okay, well, does he look like what people have been describing him to be?
He's skeletal kind of looking, but yet human looking. He's very
long
limbed.
Long and gangly.
Gangly, but the thing is, and he was on Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie series. I had my son in 82, and you know how many years between that and Buffy the Vampire TV series. I saw this creature one night, and I couldn't believe it. Then I researched it, and there's a German folklore, but they call it something to do with Kinder, which has to do with children. But I was very, very. Then I knew there was this thing is real.
So you don't think this is some little YouTube hoax, do you?
No, this is the dark side communicating with humans. I know from what I saw in Buffy. Okay, what I saw in my dream, I'm sitting in my dining room, and this hobbled into the dining room, and its knees were level with its ears. Now, on Buffy, it hobbles into the children's hospital, and because it's, you know, there are children there. And when it stands up, it's like tall. And see, what I saw in my dream, it never stood up, but it hobbled in the room, and yet I remember its knees being like up level with its head.
What's it want?
But it sounded like when it would move its fingers very long, sounded like bamboo chimes, you know, clinky, clanky, almost like dry bones or something you would think of.
Almost like a skeleton.
But yet it had skin. But it looks like an old man in a way, but had long kind of gray hair and long pointy features. But now on Buffy, it went a step further because he opened his mouth and then he became more vicious looking. And
well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do a show on the Slender Man because, you know, this is the first I've heard about it tonight. And, you know, it's well worth checking into. Let's go to Carmel in New Jersey, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Carmel.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. George?
Good. Good. How about you?
I want to see your opinion on this. I'm like new to listening to the show. I've been working these grave shifts lately, and I've been wondering if you guys done anything on psychics. I'm pretty sure you have.
Oh, yes. Sure have.
Because my brother-in-law moved out to Arizona recently. He saw a psychic out there, and we have a 10-month-year-old child, and she's been I know babies. Like, I grew up with siblings, like younger ones, and I know they babble a lot when they're young because, you know, they're just trying to get words out. But this psychic pinpointed that, you know, his sister had a daughter, and that the daughter was talking to their deceased grandfather. I wanted to see what your take is on this, and if the baby just, like, you know, is doing the baby babble or if she's actually talking to him.
Well, first of all, don't discourage it. You know, it's very important that parents understand and adults understand that children are more tuned in than we are, and that there is that possibility that they sense things, that they could be communicating. We've had stories, for example, where the little tiny child talks about the grandfather they never saw, no pictures, nothing, and they describe him to a T to the parents. They can't believe it. Like, how else can you describe it? What else can you say? The grandfather visited the little kid. I mean, and that has happened time and time again. Let's go to Virginia. In the New Virginia, in Iowa. It's you, John. I got a couple of minutes. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. Hi, George.
Hey.
I just had a little a comment and a question on this H1N1 and just various other things that are popping up.
Let's go with your question first to see how we are time-wise. Go ahead.
Well, you guys, I know you guys have talked about it, and I've read different stuff, and I mean, do you think, you know, I mean, with this stuff killing you, and you're saying there's one now in, Ukraine that's like
Ukraine's
stronger?
Got some kind of, they've got some kind of strange virus out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but these things, they just keep getting more and more virulent. And, I mean, and then that gal you had on in early in the evening, she's talking that, you know, the stuff that she's seen. She thinks it's coming out of a lab. This is not natural.
Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, exactly.
I remember you guys, and I've heard different ones talk about it, maybe Alex Jones, and the whole depopulation theory that, the Illuminati or whatever it is you want to call them, and their various little, groups and stuff, want to reduce the population. And then also, like, say, chemtrails and stuff. Do you believe that, like, they're, doing these things and, they try this over here, they try that over there?
I think it's possible. See, I think what the swine flu is, I think it is a scare tactic that has been going on now for some time. They've talked about a pandemic. They've slowed that down. When's the last time we heard the word pandemic? They don't even use it anymore, but they say it's out of control. My reporter, Linda Moulton Howe, last week reported on the fact that a doctor has said that there will be 80,000 deaths here. Let's hope he's wrong. I think he is wrong, but we'll be doing more and more on that in the not-too-distant future because it's a real disease. The question is just how widespread is it? Coast to Coast continues in just a moment. We'll be back.